This is Shaw. The storms have kept us in Ashborough, but I do have good news to report. We've made contact with the savages. I believe it could even be the same tribe who rescued Dr. Wood. They crept up on us late in the evening hours, right after the rains had stopped. The confrontation was tense at first. Each party was suspicious of the other. The savages were eyeing our firearms warily. They spoke English well enough and wanted to know why we were staying in these ruins. That was a good question, considering what I'd learned from Wood's recordings. When we told them who we were looking for, they seemed relieved. They wouldn't speak specifically about where she was or if she was still alive, but they told us they could help us. They want to lead us somewhere, I'm assuming back to their village. I pressed for more details about Wood's condition and also about the cure, but they refused to discuss anything more with our party until we left Ashborough. It's the best I could have hoped for, so we're heading out at first light tomorrow. In the meantime, the savages have made camp on the outskirts. It's unclear if they're more wary of Ashborough or of our team.
This is Dr. Wood. I finally persuaded my host to take me to the meadow, where the infected Ashborough colonists are known to gather. It wasn't easy. The elders are convinced my plan is doomed and dangerous. They may be correct, but I have to try. The elders provided me with two guides, their bravest warriors. It took most of the day to get here, so already the daylight is waning. We're at the top of a steep slope. My guides refused to go any further, but indicated I will find what I'm looking for if I continue through the trees below. My comlink battery is almost depleted now. I likely only have a few minutes left, at most. But I think it's important to record as much as possible in real time. If something goes wrong, perhaps at least the documentation will be useful for others. Given what I understand about both the fungal infection as well as the treatment, a strong enough dose in the bloodstream via the carotid artery could have the necessary effect, even on a subject infected for a prolonged period. I haven't quite worked out how the hell I'm going to administer such a dose. Looks like I'm on my own from here on out. I'll leave my pack here with them, bringing only my comlink and the applicator for the cure. God, I wish I hadn't given Foster my pistol. No sense fussing about it now. I'm making my way down through the trees. I've made it down to the bottom of the slope. The trees clear out and it's wide open. The sunlight actually shines through here. I was a little startled when I saw it. The elders were right. The entire clearing, the meadow, is full of people. Humans. They're all standing absolutely still. It looks as though they're frozen in place. Even as I move clear of the trees, there's no reaction to my presence. I'm walking toward them now. Their eyes are open, but they're cloudy, glazed. They're not looking at me. They all have their heads down. They're standing, but their arms are limp at their sides. I can see as I get closer the extent of the infection. Their skin has been enclosed with what looks like a red crust. It's on their faces, necks, arms. This crust has sprouted new growths as well. So extensive on some of them, their features are completely obscured. Okay. I'm in the midst of them now. Still no reaction at all to my presence. It's hibernating. I'm beginning to wonder if it's some kind of photosynthesis process. Perhaps the frost has a symbiotic effect, keeping the host alive via sunlight and water. They rest and feed during the day and are only active after dark. It would explain why they frequent this clearing, where the sunlight is more common. It's incredible. But if that's true, I don't have a lot of time. The sun is almost behind the trees. I need to find a subject to test my cure. Okay, the sun is behind the trees now. It's almost dusk. I found one of the colonists with less growth around the neck. It will be easier to identify them to inject the cure. If I can locate. I'm transferring the dosage from the storage bladder into my applicator. Temperature, I'm shaking. I'll admit it's a little unnerving. There's so many, and I don't know how much time I have once it gets dark. Or how long. Thought I heard something. Footstep. Okay.
Dear Hannah, first, let me assure you that I'm all right. Copper 2. My last message was cut short, but the intruders didn't succeed in harming me. They certainly would have, though, if Inspector Stokes hadn't shown up. The attackers had been pounding on my door, trying to break in, and I could see them through the window, too. They were on top of the storage silo, clawing at the locks, desperate to get inside. They were human, almost human. They had the scarring on their hands and faces, the kind I'd seen with those infected by the frost. It looked like great big red boils, you know, disgusting. I thought for sure I'd be done for. It was only a matter of time. But right at that moment, the inspector showed up with an armed patrol. You should have seen it. The infected scattered like roaches, but Stokes' men shot him dead. Brutal stuff. They killed most of them. I'm thankful for the rescue, but unfortunately, harvest will have to be put on hold for the time being. Stokes said Vantage would be sending a hazmat team to dispose of the bodies. Because they'd been infected, most of the crops, well, the fields that they died in, have to be burned. All my Beru. But if that's the cost which must be paid for my life, well, that's nothing I can complain about.
Teddy, it's Mom. We arrived at New Oasis, and I don't know what to say. I was too late. After everything, all the money spent on shuttle passage, the years of traveling, leaving you and Connie, after everything, it didn't matter. She isn't here. No one is here at New Oasis. From the look of things, no one's been here for a while. I knew something was wrong when I first saw the structures from a distance. The gates were wide open, and plants were growing on the top of the fence. Inside, it was quiet. Not even the sounds of birds. No scavenging animals. The colony is completely deserted. I was still holding out hope that maybe they had moved elsewhere. Maybe there was a good reason why they'd left. But then we found the bodies and the tape recorder. They were all in one building. Inside, it looked like someone had tried to stack furniture against the door, but it had been pushed aside. The bodies were everywhere. It smelled. It was horrific. The tape recorder was one of the old kind. It had been left on top of a crate in the middle of the room. I think, Teddy, honey, I think I was meant to find it. It's like she left it for me. I was surprised when I pushed play and heard my little sister. It feels so good to hear her again. But when I listened to what she said, her description of her final days, the collapse of New Oasis, I broke down in tears. All this time, I thought I was angry at her. But I was angry at myself. I could have saved her 1,000 times. I could have listened when she told me how lonely she was, or been more vocal about her new beliefs. And when she said she was going to New Oasis, I could have stopped it. I could have asked her, I should have begged her not to go. But I didn't. I didn't. And when she reached out, I didn't even respond. I ignored the messages. She would have been so happy just to hear my voice. One time before. Before. Mr. Lincoln and I listened to the entire thing. After he left me alone, I played the tape 3 more times. I've uploaded a copy. I think it's right for you to hear it too.
Testing, testing. Alpha, Bravo, Charlie. I'm not sure if this thing is on. To anyone who finds this, my name is Marie Tanner. I'm making this recording so others will know, or at least understand, what happened here. What happened to the New Oasis colony, and what happened to the Children of the Stars. The generators went out weeks ago, which means there's no power to charge comlinks. Not that it would have mattered, since Moreau forbid any off-colony transmission. So, I've had to resort to this archaic method of communication. Hopefully someone finds this, and maybe they can make a little sense of what's happened. After Whitlock died, we'd thought things would be better. We thought, with Oasis leadership out of our way and Moreau in full control, things would improve. The children could claim Kailus as our own, maybe expand our teaching to the natives. But things only got worse. A plant, a weird moss, something which the natives have described as the Red Death, has spread throughout the Nok, infecting the colonists. It began as severe rashes, but soon became much worse. Others went crazy. We thought the natives could help us cure it. They said they knew how, but once they found out our equipment, our magic, didn't function, they refused to help us. They'd hoped to trade with us and possess some of this technology so they could use it in their wars. When that was no longer possible, they disappeared and left all of us to our fate. The infection continued to spread rapidly. Soon over 12 of our congregation had it. The crazy behavior became worse. They were violent, out of their minds. Moreau tried to control it. He told the rest of us, those of us who weren't sick, that we were immune, pure, and that we needed to purge ourselves. The infected were more docile during the daytime. They stood transfixed, staring at the sky. Moreau commanded us to bind them and drag them outside the walls. We took them into the forest, far away from the Nok. Moreau, he gave each of us a rifle, and he said it was the only way. He had all of us participate. It seemed like it worked at first. No one was infected anymore, and for the next few days, all of us were fine. The others were jubilant. They treated Moreau like a god, like a savior. I went along with it too, but I had my doubts. He had us kill those people, our people. That was 15 days ago. 10 days ago, the infection returned. There were more this time. It happened faster, too. I could see Moreau was becoming afraid. He told us to lock up the newly infected in the storehouses, along with the remains of the Beru, and let the infection run its course. I could see he was out of ideas. The infection didn't subside. They haven't died, either. They're just crazy. We can hear them every night. They howled and beat their bodies against the walls. The others are losing their faith, and a few have run off. They probably can't stand the sound. I can't blame them. I've lost my faith as well. But I'm still here. It doesn't matter where I go. You see, I'm infected now, too. I discovered it last night. It's on both shoulders, and my back itches badly. I've hidden it from Moreau. He thinks I'm his ally. He tells me that it's only the two of us who are pure, who are special. He's such a fucking coward. We're out of food. It doesn't matter. I think I'm going to turn soon. Haven't felt well, haven't been able to focus. But I wanted to leave this last message. To let everyone know. I'm going to let the infected out of the storehouses. I'll do it tonight, while Moreau's asleep. The infected are unpredictable, but I'm sure they'll come for him. If I haven't turned by then, they'll come for us both.
Well, we made it. The new Oasis colony. The Nauk. It's a mess of weeds and frost, but it more or less looks the same as it did 11 years ago. Like shit. There is one new thing. Near the old chapel building, someone's erected a wooden statue of Moreau. It's covered in fungus. So that's fitting, I guess. We found a tape recording. It explained everything. Ava? Well, she needed some time alone. This was a fool's errand from the beginning. I didn't know what I'd expected to find here, but I still didn't expect this. It's more than the fact that they're all gone. It's a kind of, I don't know, a sadness? I guess there was a small part of me that thought, or hoped, a few of them might still be here, alive, holding on. I didn't realize it until I walked back through that gate. They're dead, Art. All of them. Dead, or worse.
Inspector Stokes, case report 759-Bravo. My hunch about the Beru had been correct. When I realized Cobb's farm was a target, I scrambled a response team. It was already dark by the time our rovers left HQ. I'm glad we didn't wait any longer. As it was, we were just in time. There were five of them. Mutants, infected, whatever you want to call them. They all scattered as soon as the headlights hit them. Four of them ran across the fields back towards the forest. They weren't fast enough to get into the tree cover before our guns cut them down. The fifth one, who was on the silo roof, would have tried the same, but it stumbled and fell hard. We found it knocked unconscious on the ground. Even though it was badly deformed, you could tell it used to be a woman. Without a cure, the most gracious thing would have been to put it out of its misery. But we didn't kill it. We took it to Sutter Station. Vantage protocols are clear when it comes to dealing with any captured infected. This was no different. Tests would be run and blood samples taken. When that's finished, Vantage doctors will perform a complete autopsy and remove and catalog every organ for further examination. On the way back to Sutter Station, it had regained consciousness, if you can call it that. We bound it tight, but it snarled and struggled against the ropes. After it couldn't get free, it howled like an injured animal. It was still howling when we placed it in the holding cell in Dr. Kim's lab. There were words, too. Mostly gibberish, but every once in a while there'd be a few recognizable words. It was screaming about the Reverend and about Baru, and then sometimes it would say the same name over and over again. Someone named Ava. Dr. Kim will begin the tests tomorrow.